Why wasn't Glorfindel made a member of the Fellowship? He's impressively powerful, so why not? Let's take a look. Hi everyone, this is Robert. Welcome to In Deep Geek. On this channel, we cover Tolkien's world and legendarium in depth, as well as other great fantasy books and TV shows like A Song of Ice and Fire and The Witcher. If that sounds good, there's a subscribe button in the bottom right of your screen. Glorfindel is undoubtedly one of the most powerful and impressive beings in Middle-earth at the time of the War of the Rings. He is in Rivendell while the Council of Elrond is taking place. Indeed, he played a full role in those discussions. He would have been useful, had experience facing the Nazgûl, and in many ways would have been an upgrade on Legolas, the elf representative in the Fellowship who was chosen. In fact, in Tolkien's first draft of the Council of Elrond, Glorfindel was included in the Fellowship. Frodo asked for him to be so. He had seen how powerful he was and understandably trusted Glorfindel to protect him. So why did Tolkien change his mind? Well, to understand that, we need to understand who Glorfindel is. So here's a quick history. Back in the First Age of Middle-earth, Glorfindel was the chief of the House of the Golden Flower in the secret city of Gondolin. When that city fell, he helped to defend the few survivors as they picked their way through mountain passes to freedom. When a Balrog attacked, Glorfindel took it on single-handedly. He killed the Balrog, saving the survivors, but died in the process. The battle was so epic, it became a saying among the elves when talking about great good facing great evil. Alas, 'tis Glorfindel and the Balrog. Glorfindel's spirit went to the halls of Mandos, like all elves do when they die in Middle-earth. But he was fast-tracked from there to the Undying Lands, and from there back into Middle-earth in the Second Age, sent by Manwë himself. The first time we see him properly in action back in Middle-earth is in leading the elf army out of Rivendell against the forces of the Witch-King of Angmar in the Battle of Fornost. The Witch-King's army was totally defeated, though it was a Pyrrhic victory at best, for the northern kingdom of Arnor had also fallen. What is most remembered from this battle, though, is what happened at the end. The Witch-King charged straight at King Eärnur, whose horse fled in fear. The Witch-King laughed, a horrible, mocking laugh, then saw Glorfindel coming towards him, and abruptly turned and fled himself. That's how impressive Glorfindel was. And it was then that Glorfindel uttered his famous prophecy or insight, saying to Eärnur, "Do not pursue him. He will not return to this land. Far off yet is his doom, and not by the hand of man will he fall." We all know how that ended at the end of the Third Age. Now, it's worth noting here that Tolkien's conception of Glorfindel did change over time. It was only after he had written The Lord of the Rings that he finally decided that the First Age Glorfindel was definitely the same person as the Second and Third Age character. So what we're talking about here is Tolkien's thoughts in retrospect at the end of his life, rather than what he necessarily thought while actually writing The Lord of the Rings. This evolution of the lore in Tolkien's legendarium is quite a common issue in Tolkien scholarship. We often portray the legendarium as quite a fixed world, whereas in truth, Tolkien was ever adapting and updating it. Anyway, in The Lord of the Rings, Glorfindel enters the story strongly, meeting Aragorn, Frodo and the other hobbits between Weathertop and Rivendell, while Frodo was dying from the Morgul blade wound and escorts them to Rivendell. Arwen was given that role in the film, but it was Glorfindel in the book. And we discover later on that before then, he had positioned himself defending a strategically important bridge, and his very presence made the Nazgûl flee from him and go a different way around. So given all that, why wouldn't you want Glorfindel on your team? The Nazgûl literally flee before him. But that, I think, is an important point. He is just too powerful for this mission. Or more precisely, his great power was not what was needed. The decision was made that the Fellowship's success would depend on stealth, not on force of arms. The people chosen for the mission would be representatives of the free peoples of Middle-earth, yes, but their skill at arms or in power was not the most important factor. As Gandalf says when backing Merry and Pippin's membership of the Fellowship, It is true that if these hobbits understood the danger, they would not dare to go, but they would still wish to go, or wish that they dared, and be shamed and unhappy. I think, Elrond, that in this matter, it would be well to trust rather to their friendship than to great wisdom. Even if you chose for us an elf lord such as Glorfindel, he could not storm the Dark Tower, nor open the road to the fire by the power that is in him. So Glorfindel's strength is actually not an asset here. The things which were needed in that mission were friendship, courage and loyalty, and stealth. Now, I'm not saying that Glorfindel would have been lacking in loyalty or courage, but stealth, well, there's a story there. To most eyes, Glorfindel was just an elf, and yes, that meant that he had all of the sneaky skills of Legolas, but the enemies they faced weren't just on the physical plane. The biggest enemies that the Fellowship knew they'd face were the Nazgul, and although they are tied to the physical plane, they do not exist there. As wraiths, they exist in the spiritual realm. To Tolkien, Middle-earth, or Arda, is not the only realm. It's like there's another dimension laid on top of ours, the spiritual realm that most people can't see. Generally, only higher or more powerful beings can see or knowingly act in the spiritual realm. I think the films did quite a good job of showing this when Frodo put on the One Ring, for example, and entered the spiritual realm. He didn't just go invisible in the normal realm, he became visible in the spiritual one. And the Nazgul appeared to him as they were, not just faceless black riders, but wraith-like kings and lords of old. This is why Gandalf was so strict about Frodo not using the ring. Not just because he was concerned that the ring would get more control over him, he knew that when Frodo wore the ring, he was visible to the enemy, shining like a beacon. Now, the thing about Glorfindel is that he was so powerful, and having been so recently in the Undying Lands, that he also appeared in the spiritual realm. This is how Frodo sees him while the Morgul Blade was poisoning him. The whole point of the Morgul Blade, let's not forget, is to turn its victim into a wraith, dragging them into the spiritual realm. So this is what Frodo sees while he's on that journey. Suddenly into view below came a white horse, gleaming in the shadows, running swiftly. In the dusk, its headstall flickered and flashed, as if it were studded with gems like living stars. The rider's cloak streamed behind him, and his hood was thrown back. His golden hair flowed shimmering in the wind of his speed. To Frodo, it appeared that a white light was shining through the form and raiment of the rider, as if through a thin veil. Then again, at the ford of Brunnen, Frodo sees him as a shining figure of white light. Frodo, ever curious, asks Gandalf about this later, and Gandalf explains. Here in Rivendell there live some of Sauron's chief foes, the Elvenwise, lords of the Eldar from beyond the furthest seas. They do not fear the Ringwraiths, for those who have dwelt in the Blessed Realm live at once in both worlds, and against both the seen and the unseen, they have great power. And more specifically about Glorfindel, Gandalf tells Frodo that you saw him for a moment as he is upon the other side, one of the mighty of the firstborn. So to boil this down to the simplest level, Glorfindel literally shone in the spiritual realm. If he had gone with Frodo to Mordor, Sauron and the Nazgul would have seen him from miles away. Not exactly ideal for a stealth mission. The idea of taking Glorfindel to guard Frodo must have been very tempting. He was otherworldly powerful, and the Nazgul would literally flee before him, but once they had made up their minds that this would be a stealth mission rather than a full frontal assault on Barad-dûr, Glorfindel would actually have been a liability. His power and strength had its limits. He could not single-handedly fight his way to Mount Doom, and everyone important on Sauron's side would have seen him coming a mile off. Glorfindel is one of the most powerful and wonderful characters in The Lord of the Rings, but if he had gone with Frodo to Mordor, there is every reason to think that the mission would have failed. Sauron would be defeated not by great power, but by the humility, love, pity, and friendship of hobbits. If you'd like more videos about Tolkien's Legendarium, then please click on the playlist link on the left of your screen. Or to support this channel, the best way to do that is to click on the link to my Patreon page on the right of your screen. That's all for this time. Thanks for watching. I'll see you again soon.